Good afternoon. Today I will share with you experiences that we have had when we are working with green legumes in Africa. So the optimizing fertilizer recommendations in Africa is a project that is funded by AGRA from 2013 to 2017. And the main target is to maximize profit through optimization of fertilizer use. So when you're talking about profit maximization, it can either be maximizing the net returns per acre, or for a financially constrained farmer or financially constrained investment, maximizing the net returns on each investment. So we are working with several nutrients, including N, P, K, sulfur, zinc, and boron. So far, we have worked with 17 annual crops that we are making a crop nutrient response functions in 13 countries. So well, this map is from Scientific American, and it's showing the scale of Africa compared to other countries. So the countries that we are working on are in Western Africa, which include Mali, Niger, Burkina Faso, Ghana, and Nigeria. In East Africa, we are working in Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, and Tanzania. And in Southern Africa, we are in Zambia, Malawi, and Mozambique. And according to FAOstat, these countries are very important because they contribute to 72% of the overall legume production in Africa, including dry beans, cowpea, groundnut, pigeon pea, and also soybean. So when you're talking about fertilizer use decisions, we have to think about economics. And to maximize profit, we also have to think about how to apply economics in fertilizer use decisions. So this map that is, this graph that has been borrowed from Eastern Uganda portrays the response of maize to nitrogen application. And this is a curvilinear, an asymptotic curvilinear to plateau relationship, where, as we can see, increasing at low rates of application of nitrogen, we have a steep response to maize yield until we reach a plateau. The increase is lower until we reach a plateau, and then thereafter, an increase in application of nitrogen has either minimal or low response to increments in yields. So this relationship represents this curvilinear to plateau relationship, where A represents the yield at plateau, B is the maximum gain in yield due to applied nutrients, C is the curvature coefficient, and R is the rate of nutrient application. So when we are talking about cropping systems in Africa, intercropping is very important. So this is an ASAL area, arid and semi-arid lands, and as we can see on the background, we have some Fadebia trees, and Fadebia trees play a major role, especially in nutrient cycling, in these ecosystems. On the right, we have one of the Ofra trials in Niger. So in Ofra, we are also determining nutrient response functions from past and current research. So GIS, we have worked so far on 5,500 response functions, which have already been georeferenced, and 43% come from Ofra trials. So we are using GIS transfer of information from similar growing conditions so that we can be able to transfer them to a similar recommendation domain. And with this, we have worked with several legumes, although much more work is still desired. Spatial information has also been very important to us, especially the climate data from GigaMap, and also AFSIS data that we have used to be able to transfer some of this information. So these are examples of response functions from different countries. And as we can see, the responses differ depending on the curvature and the magnitude of yield increase due to application of nutrients. So this one shows the response of soybean to phosphate application. And as we can see, there is a good response, to especially when phosphate is applied at 7.5 kilos per acre. For cowpea in Tanzania, in the central zone, we find that the response was a bit lower, but then yields were increased almost double when 5 kilos of phosphate were applied. We did not get a lot of response to nitrogen for many legumes, but then for beans, we found some responses, especially in Uganda, where application of about 10 kilos of nitrogen led to 60% increase in yields. Most of the legumes did not respond to potassium, but we got some responses, especially in Rwanda. We also diagnosed the response of legumes to application of secondary and micronutrients, especially magnesium, sulfur, zinc, and boron. But then we found some positive responses to legumes in some instances. For example, that is displayed here. This is the diagnostic treatment that has been applied to groundnuts in Niger, where it produced 25% increase in yield when these nutrients were applied together with NPK. And then in Nigeria, we got like 15% increase in yield. But then in some other countries, we did not get any response to these micronutrients. Profit potential also depends on the choice of the crop nutrient options. This figure illustrates the responses of nitrogen. This figure shows the responses, the returns to investment on nutrients, and as we can see, there is a high response of there is a high return, especially when nitrogen was applied to upland rice. But then, looking closely, we can see that for a constrained investment, applying nitrogen to beans, or even phosphorus to groundnuts, we have increased net returns, which are even higher than maize nitrogen applied to maize. So out of 18 response functions, we found that legumes responded very well, had a higher profit potential when nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium were applied. So they ranked second, third, 7th, 9th, 13th, and 14th. Then how do we advise farmers? With all these computations and all these permutations that have to be calculated, we came up with an Excel tool, with a fertilizer optimization tools, which uses Excel, and it uses linear programming to determine the crop nutrient rates, combinations that may optimize returns on investment. So in this example, this is the Excel fertilizer optimization tool, and this tool can accommodate 7 crops and 4 nutrient sources. So what the farmer does, or even the extension officer, is to fill in the area to be planted per crop and also the expected grain value. Then the cost of the fertilizer product, including application and also transportation costs, are also included. Most importantly, the farmer fills in the budget constraint. That is how much the farmer is willing to invest in fertilizers. And after clicking the optimization button, these are the outputs that are given. And in the output, we see that the The amount of fertilizer to be applied per crop is given, especially depending on the profitability of that particular crop. So in addition, we have different, different fertilizers, how much to be applied per fertilizer, for example, urea nitrogen, single superphosphate, and zinc sulfate. But then this particular domain recommended very low for potassium. So for soy, for the other output that is given is on the net returns per crop and also the total net returns for that particular domain. So for areas where farmers or even extension officers may not have computers for their day-to-day activities, we also came up with, we also developed a paper fertilizer optimization tool. And this optimization tool has shows the financial ability of the farmers. We have three financial abilities. And these financial abilities are also, these recommendations also captures the four R's of fertilizer use. Calibration instructions are also given within the optimization tool. So in conclusion, although many farmers do not apply fertilizer to legumes, we have found that they are good opportunity, good profit opportunities. And currently, we are also working to revise some of the response functions, especially maize and bean intercropping, while using maize soil crops. Other functions which are underway are the other intercropping systems that are found in other countries. We have several outputs that we have come up with in this project, and these outputs have been given in this particular website, which include the Excel fertilizer optimization tool that I've just shown, the paper FOT, and we're also having some extension training materials. So we have a book also, which is coming up. It's at our publication. And this book also contains 13 country chapters, which also which gives the results of their work in these countries, and also includes four chapters on integrated soil fertility management. But we also need some partnership, especially to for research in other past crops, so that we can be able to increase our database, and also training, extension, and other another farmer trainers is quite a huge task, especially with the resources that we are having. Thank you. So what we did when we were developing this tool, we have some response functions, and when we were coming up with these response functions, we used the soil map, soil data from AFSIS. Generally, in our countries, we have problems with nitrogen and phosphorus. So these are with that strength that most of these are usually deficient. The recommendations that we have given have worked well even in these areas.
Well, I was referring to the first part of your talk, you had those response curves.
Yes.
And some of you got more response than others. And I'm wondering, yes, if in those, did you know what the levels were in the soil before you applied the phosphorus to your potassium?
We were not using soil tests, so that we can be able to come up with those. But then within the project, we also collected soil samples and analyzed for the different nutrients in those particular soils. And mostly the responses are related to the soils, to the nutrient content of the soils, but also it's also about the environment, the agroecological zone. Yeah.
So, in the case of the nitrogen response from corn,
yes,
especially if you have a response from soybean and you don't have a response from corn. So, you guys, are those soils high like in nitrogen or are they high in phosphorus that they want you to respond? And do you know whether the soils are testing high for each of the nutrients so that the response will not be quite pronounced?
What we have found is that the response functions do not really correlate together with the soil's data, with the nutrient content of the soil. So we have done some statistical analysis, and we have found that for most cases they do not correlate very well with the soil's data. So it was not a must that where we had low responses, that maybe the content of nitrogen or phosphorus was high. So the response functions were mainly because of the agroecological zone and other factors that were determining the response functions. Pardon? All of it is rain fed. Yeah. As my co-author has said, so far we have been able to come up with the response functions, but then the next step now will be to correlate. So we have already collected all that data, the soil pH and the other soil chemical characteristics. So the next step will be now to correlate and see which ones really determine the responses in the different areas. Yeah. So for what I have presented are mainly in the soil crop, but we are also analyzing the data so that we can be able to see whether there is any, we can be able to come up with the crop response functions based on the maize soil crop. So that can we be able to predict maybe the response for an intercrop when you have the results of a soil crop. Most of it was applied by banding, depending on the, as we have said, is that we are looking at the four R's, the source, the fertilizer, the rate, the source, and even the application method. So we are using the recommended methods so that when it is during planting, we are doing by banding, but not by broadcasting. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure this is ready or at week? Because you will be talking about generating information to inform the tool. How long is that?
The tool is ready for use. In fact, even in Uganda, we had also come up with a cell phone application, an app in the cell phone that farmers can already use. So this tool is already ready for use. But what we are saying is that for legumes, we also need some more data so that we can be able to add to what we already have. But the tool is already ready. We are already training extension officers on its use so that they can be able to take it to farmers.
One more question.
Okay. So this, in Uganda, from what I can gather, the application of
nitrogen on maize is about 1 kilogram per hectare, and there's no application on legumes at all. No matter what the recommendations say, how do you intend to get past that farmer sense that it's not worth it to?
In Ofra, we are approaching farmers in terms of profitability, so that we can be able to show them that by adding fertilizers, it's possible to get some profit out of it, other than the current method of application where they do not apply any fertilizers. So in Uganda, fertilizer usage has been very low, but then we are trying to use the extension people so that they can be able to advise farmers on this and approach it in terms of profitability. Once the farmer has known that by applying, by a small investment, you can be able to get high profitability, we think that maybe that will be a good motivation for them to use fertilizers. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.